Nutrafol for 1 year. I ignored my hair thinning because I was a full-time working mother. But then I came across Nutrafol. It was a hair growth supplement that was so easy to fit into my life. After just a few months, I was amazed by how much thicker and stronger my hair was. I finally feel like myself again.
Get growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Real customers were compensated to share their stories.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
It is 8:06 in the morning. Good morning with Cameron Eisenberg producing. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Tuesday, the 5th of August, and here's what we're doing today. First part of the show, Leslie Naramore is here from Mid-Columbia Community Action. We're going to talk about some of the work they're doing as the aftermath of the Rowena fire and the recovery from that continues. Second half of the program, we are going to be joined by Debbie Jones from Youth Think of Watsco County. So all that coming up on MCT, but first, as we usually do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. In 1861, Abraham Lincoln signed the Revenue Act of 1861, which levied the first income tax on Americans, a flat tax of 3% on those making over $800 a year to help fund the Union's Civil War effort. 1884, the cornerstone of the Statue of Liberty's pedestal was laid on Bedloe's Island in New York Harbor. 1914, what's believed to be the first electric traffic light system was installed in Cleveland at the intersection of East 105th Street and Euclid Avenue. 1936, Jesse Owens of the U.S. won the 200-meter dash at the Berlin Olympics, collecting the third of his four gold medals. This day in 1957, American Bandstand, hosted by Dick Clark, made its national network debut, beginning a 30-year run on ABC television. 1962, South African anti-apartheid activist Nelson Mandela was arrested on charges of leaving the country without a passport and inciting workers to strike. It was the beginning of 27 years of imprisonment. Also on this day in 1962, Marilyn Monroe found dead at the age of 36 years old in her Los Angeles home. Her death ruled a probable suicide from acute barbiturate poisoning. 1964, U.S. Navy pilot Elbert Alvarez Jr. became the first American flyer to be shot down and captured by North Vietnam. He was held prisoner until February of 1973. 1974, the White House released transcripts of subpoenaed tape recordings showing President Richard Nixon and his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, had discussed a plan in June of 1972 to use the CIA to thwart the FBI's Watergate investigation. Revelation of the tape sparked Nixon's resignation. 2010, 33 workers were trapped in a copper mine in northern Chile after a tunnel caved in. All were rescued after being entombed for 69 days. 2011, the sun-powered robotic explorer Juno rocketed toward Jupiter on a five-year quest to discover the secret recipe for making planets. Juno reached Jupiter on July 4th of 2016. Days for today is International Traffic Light Day. We mentioned that, believe me, the first electric traffic light system put in Cleveland back in 1914. National Night Out is this evening. That's local law enforcement connecting with their communities again at the Dallas City Park, 6 to 8 this evening. Also in Skamania County, Stevenson on Vancouver Avenue near the sheriff's office there, 6 to 8 this evening as well. It's National Underwear Day for whatever reason. I'm not sure why, nor do I necessarily want to know. And it's also Work Like a Dog Day, which actually, knowing all the dogs I've ever had, means you're not working that hard. But that's what the phrase is. The food today, National Easter Day today. I'll pass. It's also Green Peppers Day today. Pretty good vegetable to have. especially with a salad, something like that. So there it is, for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:09 in the morning. We'll come back and talk to Leslie Naramore, Mid-Columbia Community Action, after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians, and recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one, contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step two, create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step three, gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:12 in the morning. Leslie Naramore is here, the new executive director for Mid-Columbia Community Action. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mark.
And you were named interim director, I think, about, 6-7 months ago, and now you're the permanent.
Yeah, back in February, I was named interim, and then as of August 1st, I'm officially permanent.
And as you get into this, you're dealt a pretty heavy issue to deal with right away, and that's the Rowena fire.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be two phases of this, obviously, short-term and long-term. Those involved in the recovery efforts. I'll start short-term first. What has Mid-Columbia Community Action been doing?
We've been working with people to try to get them rehoused. And so far, we have rehoused 14 households, which for us is pretty amazing to be able to find that many rentals in that short of an amount of time. And so we've been able to get 14 rehoused. We've also been doing hotel stays for people as well. And then we've also been helping them once they're into a home get set up because they have no belongings. And so the community has been very generous. We've had a company that's donated mattresses, brand new mattresses. So once people are in the home, then we're able to kind of help them make it a home.
How many people right now, I mean, are you working with? I mean, you mentioned you've got 14 couples or families or however it's in actual homes, but how many people are you working with right now? And I assume you're still working on locating people.
Yes. Yeah. So there's about 130 people that have been identified that have been affected. We're not working with all of them,
sure.
But, you know, there are still people that are coming out of the woodwork. You know, we're still finding people that have not received any assistance yet and didn't know where to go. And so I think that number is going to grow a little bit.
Probably a good time maybe to mention at this point, if you're someone who is affected by the Rowena fire. And I imagine we're probably going to go beyond housing here in a moment, but you need some help and you maybe haven't gotten it quite yet. How do they get a hold of Mid-Columbia Community Action?
Yeah, they can go to our website, and right there on that front page, they can fill out a form. It's an intake form and get started in the process. They can call. They can also walk into either of our locations. We have one here in Hood River and then one, the Gloria Center in the Dalles.
So, You also mentioned that you've been taking donations from people to help with getting some household items. So these folks, obviously in the fire, they've lost not just their home, but they've lost everything that was in it. How can people help with that?
Yeah, so we have been seeking like very specific items mm-hmm. for people. So at the beginning, there was like an outpouring. It was kind of too much. It was so many things.
It tends to go that way.
Yeah, so we have been posting on Facebook very specific needs. So for mm-hmm. example, right now we have someone who has mobility issues and is looking for a recliner. Mm-hmm. So as those needs come up, we post them on Facebook and then people respond there. Mm-hmm.
Along with housing, what else has been a part of the short-term issues here?
Yeah, so we were also hosting at the Gloria Center with Wasco County some MARCs, which are multi-agency resource centers, and that's where people could come in and meet with multi-agencies and figure out what their needs were. And we've kind of tapered away from that. Those aren't currently happening because we met that mm-hmm. need, right?
Yeah.
So we're moving on to the next phase now.
Right. I assume the next phase is that housing phase we're talking about here.
Yeah.
What do you foresee from here as you go on along? I mean, I heard one number at a county commission meeting here observing the other day, and I heard, you know, it could be 5 to 7 years
yeah.
to really fully get through all this.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm part of the long-term recovery yeah. group right now that is being stood up under MCED. And it is. It's going to take a long time. And the end goal of that group is that eventually we hand it over to the citizens who were affected. Mm-hmm. But right now we're kind of focusing on, you know, what's happening right now and mm-hmm. then what do we need to be thinking about for the future. But it's years. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so many obstacles in the way because of where that area is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, trying to help people rebuild is absolutely, you know, mm-hmm. 5 years.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you've got the cleanup process, which is still going on, and mm-hmm. I guess I've worried in that area, knowing kind of what was out there, what might be found as far as cleanup that could really make this a difficult process.
Yeah.
And then you add in, and by the way, for those who are wondering, I'm hoping in probably in a couple of weeks to have someone from the Gorge Commission on talk about housing replacement, because that is going to be a major issue.
Yeah.
Even though it sounds like they're trying to make it as easy as possible, but you know,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I certainly hope so.
I know. I kind of share with that thought there, but I get it. But I mean, when we go long term, is the housing replacement really the main issue here, or you know, there are some other things here?
In my mind, housing is the main thing.
Right.
mean, that's 56 units that mm-hmm. we lost in our community that
right.
we could not afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, housing is going to be the main thing. And then also making sure that people can rebuild their own community in the way that they want and mm-hmm. in the way that it was, that they can preserve their own community culture.
Well, there is also a reality. I forget who told me this. But it was a fairly substantial number of those who had their homes. You know, 56 just destroyed, by the way. I mean, we
right.
got a lot of damaged housing out there.
Yeah.
50% plus, there's no one, they didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, and that really complicates all this.
It really complicates it. And then a lot of them were elderly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were low income, fixed income.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of complications at play
mm-hmm.
here.
So you mentioned eventually the group, and let's talk about me a little bit, the group that you're involved in. I know McClellan Economic Development District, Jessica Mehta, she was on the show while I was gone on vacation. She's a big part of that group, I know. You guys are. Who else is involved? I assume Wasco County is involved.
Wasco County is involved. And then we also have someone who was a resident who was affected.
Mm-hmm.
And then also someone from, I mean, it's part of Wasco County as well, but the Public Health District.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, though, that eventually you just want to turn this over to the residents themselves,
mm-hmm.
who obviously are dealing right now with a lot of different issues,
yeah,
a lot of layers, they differ depending on who you are. I would think that's going to be a little ways down the process, isn't it?
A long ways down the process. So right now, one of the things that we're also doing is bringing in people who have done this before and
mm-hmm.
have this experience and can kind of help guide us in what
yeah.
this looks like.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine, unfortunately, I'm thinking, of course, of what went on like the Willamette Valley and elsewhere 3 or 4 years ago. with those big fires. Unfortunately, you probably have a decent pool to draw from as far as experience with dealing with all this.
We do, yeah.
It's helpful, but
It's helpful. You know, it's sad, but It's also the reality of where we live.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something like this. I'm sure it was contemplated by the organizations involved, but until you get into this, do you really know what? I mean, you can quote prepare for it, but can you even be prepared for it?
I don't think so.
I mean, I know that's kind of an odd way to say it, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like we can talk all we want, but Until it happens.
Yeah, and you can't predict every scenario, right?
Right,
and,
yeah.
Like, you don't know where it's going to strike. You don't know, like, the people, if they're going to have insurance. You don't know the income levels. Like, there are just so many factors. It's best to be prepared, obviously,
sure.
But,
mm-hmm.
like, you can't prepare for every single thing.
Mm-hmm. So, again, if someone, first of all, is impacted by the fire, I imagine actually the context may be the same. Or if they have something, you mentioned you're being fairly specific with donation needs right now, but one maybe contact and say, hey, I've got something household that maybe can be used here.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they go?
They can go online to our website and call our phone number, which I was just like, I don't know that yet. know that.
Well, I know that. That's my number one stump the band question this developer over the years is, what's your phone number? And it's amazing what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, go to our website. You can call us. You can email us through the website and we'll get you where you need to go.
Financial donations, by the way, because sometimes it's good to have money donations because that also would allow you guys just to go purchase what's needed at times.
Yeah.
Are financial donations being taken?
Absolutely, yeah. And then we also have a couple of wonderful foundations that have supported us as well. And that's how we've been able to get people into homes, is providing that rental assistance, security deposits, all of that.
Mm-hmm. So again, go to the Mid-Columbia Community Action website.
Yes.
mccac.com. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've never
know that one.
Okay, that one you know. It's between com and org. I just never can remember. mccac.com. A few more minutes left here. Bryce, talk about, you know, you just became executive director.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, this organization, I mean, maybe because, of course, for those of me who aren't familiar, you were Washington Gorge Action Program's executive director for quite a while.
Yeah.
The organizations are similar. I mean, they're really exactly the same in their mission. But, you know, both have kind of done different things because that's what organizations do.
Mm-hmm.
What are you having to adjust to? Maybe a little differently here.
I guess just working in a different region, you know, learning new people.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are differences in the state guidelines. So
that's
been interesting as well.
Amazing what the Columbia River does to change what you can do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's also a lot of similarities.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a great crew there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a wonderful staff. You know, I like coming to work, which is amazing.
Well, I guess the thing I thought of within the two organizations where, and maybe this isn't quite fair in terms of difference, but your predecessor at Columbia Community Action was a driving force in a lot of the housing issues here,
mm-hmm.
where housing really kind of became, when I thought Mid-Columbia Community Action, I thought housing first.
Yeah.
Not that WAGAP isn't involved in housing, but I think of a lot of different other things as well. Is that an adjustment for going in, given how it really became the leader in driving some of the housing issues and solutions in this area over the last number of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that has been an adjustment, you know, really trying to kind of narrow my focus because WAGAP has a much wider lens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not a bad thing.
No.
And really right now I'm trying to focus on stability because, like you said, Kenny did so much to grow the agency and that happened very quickly.
Right.
When he started, there were 9 employees and now we have 32. And
wow.
So, yeah, just trying to like provide stability for the team and like, let's just focus on what we're doing right now before we start thinking big picture again.
Yeah. It's just trying to get through all the transition at this point.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine there's things where, now the good news with that big a team is that usually means there's institutional knowledge there. Whereas sometimes in smaller places, if one key person leaves, a lot of institutional knowledge goes away, and that makes it worse. I would think that's not a problem here.
Nope, that's a problem. I lost my deputy. Mm-hmm. She was already planning to leave before Kenny transitioned out. So that was a lot of institutional knowledge. And then I also had a turnover in my finance department as well. So there is, you know, some institutional knowledge for which I am very thankful, but there's not as much as I might have hoped.
Okay. I was thinking about it because so much on the housing side, again, I would say I imagine though that focus continues because that isn't going away.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not.
But maybe it changes a little bit, you know, how you go about it particularly. But it's and of course you also got the Gloria Center hasn't been open that long. It was only a few months.
Just over a year now.
Right.
Yeah.
How this is kind of a tough question to ask you because you know from that organization is the Gloria Center. But no, that's not fair because you knew at WAGAP what was going on over here.
Kenny and I were friends and peers and, we worked closely together.
How has the Gloria Center changed what's able to be done?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I think one of the main things is, you know, not only is it now a one-stop shop because we have all of these other partner agencies on site as well, but it really has changed the way that staff show up to work because they're showing up to a dignified workplace. Mm-hmm. When we were in that house on 4th Street for so many years, which I didn't have the experience of, but my staff vividly remember, there were some of them who were working out of closets, out of the basement. I mean, it's really changed just their whole mentality. When it comes to, I'm going to the office today. It's a nice place to go.
There is something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, be interesting to see how things go along here. It sounds like you're excited to get back into this a little bit.
I really am.
You've been in for 6 months. It's like, you know.
I did this work since 2013, just on the Washington side. And, if I'm going to be doing this work, this is the place that I want to do it. So I'm just really, really thankful that this opened up and it all worked out. And I get to stay in this community and I get to have a job that I love.
Leslie Naramore, Mid-Columbia Community Action, again, mccac.com. If you are someone who's been impacted by the Rowena fire, maybe haven't quite, maybe you have gotten some help and need some more, et cetera, whatever the situation is, you can go there. And also that's where you can find out if you'd like to help out with this, be it financially or otherwise. They have some specific things they are looking for. Check that out, and you can find out where to go and help out with all this. Leslie, thanks for doing this. We will talk to you down the road.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
8:27 in the morning. We will come back and take a look at the news after this.
Hi, this is Dwayne from Genesis Septic Solutions. We offer all things septic, including septic pumpings, septic repairs, septic installs, and we do both commercial and residential. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777. We have quality employees, and remember to look for us in the big green trucks. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777.
Have you considered a path as a massage therapist or working in the beauty industry as an esthetician creating beautiful, bold lash and brow looks? Gorge Academy's massage and aesthetics programs start August 25th. 6-month program, 3 days a week with affordable monthly payments. Enjoy our small class sizes in massage to personalize your experience. And this fall only, get aesthetics training in modern trends like dermaplaning, chemical peels, and sugaring. Why wait to start your rewarding career? Enroll now. Visit gorgeacademy.com for program details.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. And each day, over 1,000 dogs are euthanized in shelters across the country. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war.
Hannah and I, since we've been together, we have done so much. There's nothing I won't do now as long as Hannah's by my side. Without Hannah, I'd probably still be stuck in a living room with the curtains drawn, with my back to the wall, with probably a gun on my lap.
The majority of service dogs from Canines are rescues, and with each pairing, two lives are changed forever. We rescue the dog rescues the warrior. To learn more about how Canines for Warriors is saving lives at both ends of the leash, please visit caninesforwarriors.org. That's caninesforwarriors.org.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters. the Gorge's local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, 8:30 in the morning. Let's take a look at what is in the news. The Dallas Public Works says operations at the city's wastewater treatment plant are improving but not yet back in compliance after a recent plant upset that resulted in treated wastewater exceeding the plant's limit for E. coli being discharged into the Columbia River. On Sunday, samples were taken at prearranged locations in the Columbia River to determine the effect of the discharge on water quality in the river. Tests on five samples show E. coli levels at the sample locations were well below bacterial criteria set by the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality for freshwater recreation. As a precaution, signs saying warning, contaminated water, no water contact, will remain in place from the Dallas Riverfront to the West Mayor Park boat launch on the Oregon shore of the Columbia. Wastewater treatment staff are working to restore the biological balance so the plant can return to normal operations. The City of White Salmon says the Stage 3 water conservation measure for the Strawberry Mountain Pressure Zone remains in effect, as a newly manufactured replacement pump impeller at the Los Altos Reservoir is not yet delivering the water pressure levels necessary to fully stabilize the system. A statement from the city on Monday morning says technicians are actively troubleshooting the issue and working to evaluate backup approaches should the pump ultimately prove defective. The city says it is not responsible for the manufacturing discrepancy and remains committed to ensuring that any final repair meets its engineering standards and operational requirements. The Stage 3 water conservation notice issued in July instituted an odd even schedule for irrigation but prohibits most other outdoor uses of water. Clickitat County Commissioners are going to hold a special meeting in Lisle tomorrow to hear from those affected by the Burdoyne fire. Commissioners are inviting residents along with other concerned community members to the meeting, which will be dedicated to hearing about experiences, concerns, and questions. A statement from the county says the meeting will be an opportunity for the commission to listen and work with the community to address challenges and explore solutions. The meeting from 2 to 3:30 tomorrow afternoon in the Lisle Lions Club. Members of the public are encouraged to take part. The Dallas Police Department, Wasco County Sheriff's Office, Oregon State Police, and other law enforcement agencies are inviting the public to the Dallas City Park on Tuesday evening for the annual National Night Out. The Dallas Police Captain Jamie Carrico says the event is to further efforts to partner with the community in their efforts. The event 6 to 8 this evening at the Dallas City Park. A similar event to be held on Vancouver Avenue in Stevenson, adjacent to the Skamania County Sheriff's Office. It will also run from 6 to 8. 8:31 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Debbie Jones of Youth Think is coming up next.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to Adopt a Dog, just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
Hear that? That's what having fewer hot flashes and night sweats can sound like. Veozah is the number one prescribed hormone-free treatment FDA approved for moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms, also known as hot flashes and night sweats, due to menopause. Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
Hey, Max, you look sharp in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world as a guide dog?
You bet, Daisy. And your purple service dog vest really pops against your shiny fur.
First day on the job for both of us. We've got this, right?
You bet. Dogs, Inc. trained us well.
Ready to make a difference for our humans?
Born ready.
Discover how extraordinary guide and service dogs change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:34 in the morning, Mid-Columbia Today continues on a Tuesday, and we're now with, from Youth Think of Wasco County, Debbie Jones. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, what are you guys up to as we are closer to school starting than most students would like to admit?
Oh, no kidding. It's been decades since I've been out of school, and the end of August still makes my stomach turn, so... Sorry for all those parents to say, oh, school's fun. Don't say that, that my kids would hear. So.
Oh, well.
Nah.
Actually, I always enjoyed school. I thought I liked school, but I did also like the fact that I was playing baseball every day in the summer. So.
There you go. Yes. Well, and that's, I think, was one of my big motivators for school is I got to do sports. So
yeah.
I never want to see those get dropped.
Nope. No, oh,
well,
no,
that's
no.
Important.
No. I got a lot of reasons for that, of course, myself. But
yes.
Anyway, so what's Youth Think been up to is in the summertime?
Well, I'm excited. I've been teasing this for the last several months, but we got the results from our youth-led retail assessment. So we had 8 young people from the Dalles, mixed gender and races, and all 8 of them did an assessment, and this was all set up on tablets where they could just, all the information was really easy, and they just cued in, answered the question, and gave a score. And we concentrated on what I think most people would consider the downtown corridor of the Dalles, which is 2nd Street. Mm-hmm. And then we also did just kind of spot assessments over some additional locations like the Cascade Commons, McDonald's, Taco Bell, that area, the park area by the pool, the Safeway strip. Mm-hmm. And so those didn't get quite as far as like walking into every business, but an over all visual assessment of what they saw. And on 2nd Street, there's a total of 60 businesses. 43 of them would be considered retail, and 17 mm-hmm. would be considered some type of restaurant. Mm-hmm. And when the results came in, and I'm sorry, I'm actually doing a training, so you're hearing carts and
okay.
go on. Sorry about that. So less than 50% of the places the youth indicated that they didn't feel that. They didn't feel welcomed. So not even 50% of our locations, the youth did not feel welcomed in them.
Now, when we say, what do we mean by not feel welcome in them?
So there was specific questions that asked as far as, and I don't have those right in front of me because I'm using my phone, but it was, you know, when they've just walked in, how did people, the people that were,
how they were greeted.
No, outside's not even better. How they were greeted, how they felt in the store, things like that. Just if you walk into a store, what's the vibe that you get?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, only 23%. Were the youth thought were appealing to them. It would be mm-hmm. a store or a restaurant that they'd feel like, hey, I would want to go in here.
Mm-hmm.
And only 15% were considered affordable to youth.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the population of the Dalles, that under 21 is 25% of our our population. Now, mm-hmm. of course, we don't have, toddlers running around with their credit cards, I hope. But still, it's like, what would these kids like? I know that they do, many of them do have funds where they could be spending. Because, again, on my other mm-hmm. side of things, I coach high school tennis. And I mm-hmm. see where we'll stop at a Love's truck stop. And I'll see quite a few girls that it's like, oh, I want to celebrate my first win, and they buy $50 cartoon slippers. So there is money to be had there,
mm-hmm.
but we're not really even as a business entity looking at what could do we attract youth? Mm-hmm. Do we want to do that? So that was really kind of eye-opening. The other areas that I mentioned that the youth did, and this was, again, more of a visual overview and of those areas within Second Street, Cascade Commons, McDonald's, Taco Bell, park area by the pool, Safeway Strip. Every one of those locations, youth indicated that they had seen intoxicated or people drinking alcohol or using drugs. Every one of those locations, there was some type of graffiti. Mm-hmm. Every one at those locations, there was some type of panhandling. Mm-hmm. So some other things that the youth noticed was majority of the youth felt like, and again, this isn't a huge sample, but eight, and they were all extremely consistent. Eight of them did not feel like the business community of the Dalles had anything for them. Mm-hmm. And then three-fourths of the kids felt like when they walked into the store, somebody was kind of had an eye on them, and they felt like they were being watched for negative behavior, shoplifting, that type of thing. So we had this information, and we've been able to present it to our chamber community fairs, Rotary, our Youth Think Board, and we've got a couple more presentations coming up, as well as being able to share this with your audience, is we really did not want this to be a gotcha type of thing. And we were very intentional about not calling out businesses. Mm-hmm. And so the effort now, because the youth are like, okay, what's next? We want to have a call to action. So these same kids are getting together and they have put together a PowerPoint presentation that they share and gives example of some of the product placement and things like that that they notice. But they're also coming together with, hey, this is what might be some actions you could do if you wanted to make your business more appealing to youth. Mm-hmm. They even said they would like, there were places that they walked in where it might have been someplace that you had to be over 20 or 21 or over. Mm-hmm. And they said not all the places had signage. They said we would love to have no minor signs everywhere, mm-hmm. so we know. So they had some great ideas. We're hoping to have a kind of a campaign where it's like maybe the positive peer pressure, and they're looking at making some window cling type things that they could have in businesses that say, you know, we choose youth first in our community or something. They're working on the wording, but it was just really eye-opening what they saw. And now it's like, okay, what can we pay attention to? They did one thing that was a good call out, and I'll call out this business, the Last Spop restaurant towards the end of Second Street. And when you're going into that restaurant, you see they have, you know, window art, window painting, and there is a, like a saloon girl, and she has a tray, and she has a bottle or a glass, and it's a Coca-Cola float. It's intentional because it says Coca-Cola on it, and you can see it's a float. So that was intentional for someone to say, hey, you know, they could have easily had a frosty mug of beer or something or anything like that, but those type of things, it really stood out to the youth. Like, you know, maybe this is something, because especially our younger youth have this perception, which we're trying to correct, that if there's alcohol sold or if there's even outdoor seating at like a river tap or something like that, they make that jump. And I think I've talked to you about this before, that, oh, everybody's drinking alcohol and they're going to get drunk. And it's like, no, you know, we got to correct these misperceptions. And this is just a start of it. So we're going to keep working on this, but it was a real eye-opener for everybody we've been able to share information with.
To be honest, a lot of what you just told me that they found, I mean, I'll jump on one here, which was affordability. I'm not sure that would differ no matter what the age group we were talking to at this time, just because of our economic situation.
Right, but no, they found the place interesting enough where they found the most, even just like food, beverages, that type of thing. One of the establishments would have been definitely considered a, well, I'll call it out because it's a good thing, Sunshine Meal. Mm-hmm. And that was one place that was called out because the youth came in. They saw that there were different drinks that they could get. They were more affordable than if they would have tried to buy somewhere else. The people were like, hey, if you'd like to sit here, we can give you the Wi-Fi password. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, hey, this is only for adults. That was well. And then Route 30 was another one that the kids, you know, they would have probably maybe looked at that and thought, oh, you know, this is just a place for adults. Mm-hmm. And they were welcomed. They actually had the lowest costs of drinks that youth could have. So even, you know, some of those things. And yes, you're right. But the affordability wasn't just like, hey, I want to buy a shirt or something like that. And again, that's where I challenge just a little bit because, you know, when I see some of my high school kids and they're dropping, you know, $40, $50 on a pair of animal slippers at Love's truck stop.
That's a different discussion. That's a financial literacy discussion. As far as decision making.
But that's, you know, there's like we've tried to go, there's no judgment in there. But yeah, there might be a lot of people that would say that because of that as far as downtown. So, you know, I grew up and, you know, again, I don't even, I guess the dollar stores or what are those, but downtown, one of the main ones that we had downtown was a 88 cent store. You know, we've had so many of those kind of lower price things go out to the Cascade Commons area. So if they want to have youth downtown, and, you know, that's a question that they have is downtown area for that? And if it's not, then they're doing a good job of marketing to who they want to. If they want to have a setting where one of the suggestions that kids made in one of the local establishments was kind of like, hey, maybe we could do this, is you had a night where it wasn't, you know, like a real busy business night for them. And, you know, maybe they did a youth night where it was mocktails and kids could go down in the back area and use the karaoke machine and things. You know, ways that also tell our youth that, hey, we want to do everything we can to help you know that you're valued, help you know that you can wait till you're old enough to have these. But right now it's everywhere they go, kids are chained, it's so accessible.
You know, what the common thread was of every business that you mentioned here, they were all small business, locally owned, all of them that you mentioned. And I do think that makes a difference. As opposed to a chain slash, you know, business that is more an out of area, larger scale business. I do think that makes a difference.
That could be part, but then I can throw out a business that was.
Well, let's not negative it. Do any? I want to make sure no negative businesses. By the way, here, I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, but we had, you know, without naming any names, locations where. You know, they'd have a glass countertop and they had signage that say, don't even look at this unless you're 18 years old, but you walk in the store and there's no way you can't see it. And the things that they sell for youth, you have to go all the way in the back. Cause they do have things for youth, but you have to walk through all of this to get there. Things that would be more catered towards youth. We found things that had products that were products that weren't that were promoting marijuana, even though they didn't have marijuana in it. So it's like, you know, so even just kind of looking at that, what are we as a community, what do we choose to value the most? And again, we want to help business. We intentionally did not call out any business in this report. Mm-hmm. Someone could probably find them and say, hey, I don't see myself there.
Yeah.
But we're not even, you know, we're not promoting that, just like you're saying, not because we don't want to get in trouble, but we want to accentuate the positive. And then those who might be interested in, hey, what could we do better? Have the youth give some realistic ideas. So even in this big push to have, you know, what the area is going to be down where the old Tony's building used to be, are they considering, you know, this might be a place where our teens could also use at certain times? Mm-hmm. We just have to kind of put on a different pair of glasses every once in a while and see through the eyes of the youth, because it's not just as a community, our youth do not feel valued, and that's come through several assessments that we've done. And it probably isn't that different from other communities as part of growing up. But it's just something I think we could put a lens on and say, are there some things we could improve on?
Mm-hmm. 8:50 in the morning, Debbie Jones, Wasco County Youth, thanks for being with us. Debbie, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Mark.
It is 8:50 in the morning. We'll come back, talk a little more right after this.
Rodeo is a lifestyle, a code, an ethic, and an addiction. Some rodeos even become part of your every fiber and being. Some rodeos define your career and worth as a cowboy. Some separate talkers and portrayers from heroes and legends. But none are like this one. The Farm City Pro Rodeo, Hermiston, Oregon, August 6th through the 9th. Get your tickets at farmcityprorodeo.com.
Is it that time? The difficult moment when you realize your parents need more help than you can provide. Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living, and I want you to know you don't have to do this alone. We offer compassionate care, enriching activities, and a true sense of belonging. Your parents deserve to feel comfortable, supported, and valued every single day. Come take a tour, see how Hawks Ridge can be your extended family, providing the care and dignity your loved ones deserve. Hawks Ridge and Hood River, where care feels like home.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus, and it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com. To tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And we are back here. It is now 8:52 in the morning. I mentioned yesterday, got an email from City of the Dalles during the show that about street painting, about they're going to paint lines on the street next week on the streets. That's been backed up now to the 18th to the 21st. So it'll be the week following now is when they're going to do that. Got that email again during my show. It's amazing what I get during the program. Also, another email I just got forwarded to me from somebody else here. But apparently there is somebody who is trying to raise money to buy or invest in an ownership share of the Blazers, a community share of the team. They've raised over $1 million. Estimated value of the Portland Trail Blazers, by the way, as a franchise by CNBC, made this valuation estimate when it was announced that Paul Allen's estate was putting the team on the market. $3.65 billion. Sure. $1 million. so far, too. That's a long ways away, folks, from even any sort of share of the ball club. It's not going to be sold to anybody that's got that in there. It's not going to happen. Just want to let everybody know. I think the real question is going to be, can the team be kept in Portland? I think that's where the real question is going to come in. You got to think somebody who wants to buy that team might want to move to Seattle. I've thought this for a long, ever since the Sonics went away. I've always thought unless an expansion team goes in. Now, the NBA may want the expansion fees for Seattle, though. That may be what protects Portland here. But if it's somebody who's able to move a team from Seattle to Oklahoma City, for goodness sakes, Portland is not exactly hallowed ground here for this. A lot of Blazer fans think it is, but it's not. Not in this game. By the way, Paul Allen bought the team for like $70 million. So it's fair to say the estate's going to turn a profit on this. And it's supposed to go to charity, by the way. That was part of Paul Allen's will. So, you know, can't really knock that particularly. But yeah, $3 to $4 billion is what it's expected to go for. 8:55, we'll wrap it up after this.
How can you measure the value of education-based athletics? Well, the value is in what makes it invaluable. That's because school sports aren't just about winning. They're about learning and growing. School sports aren't just about gaining trophies and accolades. They're about learning life lessons, bringing a whole community together, developing character and integrity, having coaches who mentor you and teammates who become lifelong friends. And you can't put a price on any of that. That's what makes education-based athletics invaluable. Of course, when you participate in school sports, you want to win and become a better athlete. But the purpose is so much greater, becoming a better person. Support your local school sports programs. And if you have a student, encourage them to get involved.
This message presented by the OSAA and the Oregon Athletic Directors Association.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today as we begin to wrap this one up this morning. And we will tell you that tomorrow on this show, we're going to talk Cruise the Gorge. Steve Hudson is going to join us. We'll talk about that event that is coming up on Friday and Saturday and Sunday in the region. So we'll discuss that. Then we'll talk about the next door. I think we're going to talk about the Clare House and Kelly Avenue schools tomorrow with them. So all that coming up on Mid-Columbia Today on the show tomorrow. Going to talk to Leah Lowe from Wasco County 4-H on Thursday. Friday, scheduled to talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. We'll drop a line there and see what they want to do. Because we're still not expecting them to open until later on in August. So that might be we'll find out what they want to do on that. So it's a possibility we might not do that on Friday. But we'll probably at least get an update, my guess, of how they're doing getting, speaking of Rowena Fire Recovery, as we did earlier this morning. Discovery Center's in that group. And, you know, they had to deal with some smoke and other issues out there. But we're done for today. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you again on Wednesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.